That's Susan Simon joining Ellen Thurston and me, Tom DiPietro, on the Thursday afternoon show, in case you're wondering. Because, as we said earlier, we've been told we don't introduce ourselves enough and tell people who our guests are and who we are. In case you've forgotten.
And now there are going to be two female voices that have to be identified.
Well, Susan Simon looks like she's been out mucking about with her muck boots.
Yes, but this is radio, so you can't say the woman with the muck boots is now going to speak.
Or unless you describe my entire outfit. This is Susan Simon.
It's a lovely outfit, by the way.
Thank you.
Is it really bright in here?
Oh, you know?
Wearing sunglasses.
He's starting in already.
He's starting in already. And each time I wear the glasses, I have to explain to him why.
Oh, what are those changing ones?
No, they're not their changing ones. They're just so they're prescription.
Sorry. You have a problem.
They're so I don't, so they're anti-glare.
Oh, okay. You mean the glare from me?
The glare from you. Plus the fact that, you know, I like blue lenses.
Oh, okay,
and
cool.
I'm not the only person who's ever liked blue lenses.
Excellent. There you go. There's an explanation for everything, right, Ellen Thurston?
Yes. Yes.
Is Ellen getting prepared for St. Patrick's Day with her green sweater?
Oh, you missed it. We had a long discussion about green.
Did you? Oh, I'm wearing green, too.
Yeah, Tom doesn't... He doesn't see green well.
That's true.
Are you colorblind?
In that range, yes.
Yeah.
In that spectrum.
Oh, that's a shame.
How
so you don't see
test
green
that? They test it when you're a kid.
It's very easy to test. There's like it's in like every 101 psychology book. And it's whether you see a certain section of the color spectrum or not.
So do you miss spring?
No, I can see green.
Yeah.
I'm just constantly, I don't know.
He was looking for something to talk about.
Yeah, I was looking for something to talk about today, too. But I think I've come up with it.
Oh, really?
I think.
I have the answer to eating too much chocolate.
You do?
Eat a clementine instead. I've discovered these little clementines.
Yeah.
And I think they're very delicious. And I eat too much chocolate, so... I'm occasionally going to put off my
chocolate. But it's not. But it doesn't satisfy the same need.
In a way.
Be careful; you might turn orange. Hey, you know, I'm using that as a segue. I've been reading a collection of medical mysteries by Burton Ruscha. Remember him from the New Yorker?
Mm-mm.
He used to write the medical. He wrote them for like 40 or 50 years.
I believe you.
Anyway, one of them was called The Orange Man. And he came into the doctor with orange skin. Now, the doctor had
eating too many Cheetos.
Carrots.
Well, carrots make you yellow. Tomatoes can make you red. Turned out this fellow ate too many carrots and tomatoes, which when, of course, you put red and yellow together, you get orange.
We see a lot of vegetarians that are kind of... orange, yellow, reading.
Really?
Yeah. That are people that are really strict.
This was less common in the time this was written. It was like in the 50s or 60s.
John McPhee did a really, an article about oranges once.
I know the book.
That one?
It's a book. Yeah, I read
it. It's a book.
I knew somebody once who ate too much. He worked in a health food store behind the counter, and he loved carrot juice, so he would drink a big glass of carrot juice every morning, or every time he thought about it, he'd have some more carrot juice.
And he turned orange, or yellow more, likely. Yeah, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You never heard of Burton Ruscha? I can't believe that. You, a lifelong New Yorker writer.
I don't know him, no. How do you spell it?
R-O-U-E-C-H-E. Burton?
No.
Anyway.
Susan Maynard.
It was kind of like an early version of that TV show House, you know? He would write little histories of odd little medical cases, medical mysteries, and how how they were solved.
Susan has...
Okay, I guess that's going nowhere. And Susan's just raring to go.
Well.
Have you been in the sun or something?
Yes.
Where were you?
The Dominican Republic. That was, which is part of my, I've decided since it's snowed again for the second time since I've been home, which obviously is not so long because my tan is still existent, to talk about the Dominican Republic, where I've been, and the food there, and something someplace else where I've spent a year of my life that's so in the news today, especially, has been and is back in the news. Every other word that's coming out of newscasters today is Seychelles. Because of that meeting that was held in the Seychelles, I think it was in the fall or late summer, with Eric Prince and some Middle Eastern sheiks or emirs trying to arrange through the back door a relationship with the Russians. So every other word is Seychelles. So they went to the Seychelles Islands thinking they were going to one of the more secret places on Earth. So I decided to talk about these two tropical cuisines and how different they are.
Well, maybe Seychelles has borscht or some other
Seychelles.
Russian food.
I think the clue with Seychelles is such a remote place, and it's still remote.
Do they have a seashore?
Yes, they do.
So you could actually...
Susan Simon selected seashells on the Seychelles.
Okay. Steal my lines and you're out of here. Damn you, woman.
We're talking... This is Ellen Thurston, by
and
the way.
And this is Tom DiPietro. This is a Thursday afternoon show.
And
that clock's
going to
drive me nuts because it's still at 11:20.
We're talking to Susan Simon, who... I said, is like a family member here.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
I
don't know about that. That's going a little far. A regular guest, okay?
Regular guest. She's one of our regular correspondents.
Correspondent. That sounds classy.
Yeah.
Classy.
Okay.
Classy in the age of Trump.
So tell us about the Seychelles.
Well, all right, I can go with the Seychelles since that was I went to the Seychelles. I was living can I give you this whole story, this
sure,
whole spiel?
Yes.
We have time here for stories.
Sure.
For travelogues.
Yes.
I was living in Italy in the 70s, from the mid-60s to the mid-70s, and was reading a copy of British Vogue, and there was a beautiful piece photographed by Norman Parkinson. Do you remember Norman Parkinson, a great fashion photographer?
Of course.
And there was a model with her red hair flying, and she was wearing a Laura Ashley dress, and the backdrop was the tropical island of your dreams. The model was Grace Coddington, who later became a big editor at American Vogue. But I was very interested in the setting of this photograph, and my sister was with me at the time in Italy. So we found out that it was photographed in the Seychelles Islands. And where were the Seychelles Islands? We took out a map and found the Seychelles Islands, this archipelago of 88 islands in the middle of the Indian Ocean. Closest, let's say, imagine Karachi, imagine Mombasa in Kenya, imagine Mauritius. And the Seychelles were there, sort of there. And... But we figured out a way to get to the Seychelles, and this is before cell phones, before, you know, the internet, before, by finding a charter flight from London to Nairobi, and then getting on the second or third British Caledonian, which was an airline, it was like a British Scottish airline, that flew from Nairobi to Seychelles. And they started flying. This is the first flights, because up until then, the only way to get to the Seychelles was on a ship, on a, you know, on a steamship. So we figured it out, and we flew from. We got ourselves from Italy to London, and we got on this flight that actually stopped in Rome, but we couldn't pick it up in Rome. We had to go to the place where it originated.
This was the charter.
This was a charter flight that I don't know if it was a charter flight or a regular flight. Maybe flew from London to Rome to Cairo to Nairobi. In Cairo, we started off with Egypt Air, and Cairo Egypt Air stopped and let us off, put us up at a hotel overnight, and then took us. Mind you, this is still $100 each. Then took us that morning on a tour of the Sphinx and the Pyramid. Gave us a wonderful lunch, put us on a Air Flot flight. It's the Russian Airlines from Cairo.
How many planes? This is the third plane you're on.
No, this is, it's second. Actually the second, because I don't know how we got to London. Maybe on the train. And then we flew to Seychelles. I mean, we flew to Nairobi and spent a week in Nairobi, and then got on this British Caledonian and went. And we were like the second or third flight ever into Seychelles, you know, a commercial flight. I mean, the United States had an Air Force base there. Anyway, so Seychelles, and they still are very remote, which is why I think the Seychelles were chosen as the spot for this not so secret meeting anymore between Eric Prince and these Saudi or wherever they were from some Middle Eastern nation to have this big powwow to create a backdoor for the Trump the about to be Trump administration to have a connection.
Wow.
So it's being brought up again because Mueller's about to investigate those people that were at that meeting now, that it's part of his ongoing investigation. So I keep hearing Seychelles, 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 which prompted me to pull out this little La Cuisine Seychellois book that I bought there. The La Cuisine Seychellois was published in 1960. And it's one of my favorite ever cuisines, and I still make food that I learned to make in the Seychelles. Very sophisticated Creole cuisine. The Seychelles were founded by the French and capitulated by the British, and were one of the last members of the British Commonwealth. They got their independence from the British in 1976. So they're an independent nation now. But so they have the French influence. British, not so much. Except tea time in the afternoon, but the tea is vanilla tea. So it's a combination of tea leaves that grow in the Seychelles and the vanilla that grows there, and it's steeped, brewed, and it's delicious because then they add like either evaporated milk or condensed milk to it, making it a real milky sweet drink, sort of perfumed with vanilla. And the Africans that came to the Seychelles to work on the copra plantations, because there are three public islands of this archipelago, and then there are all those small islands that are, some of them have become resorts now in the years since I've been there, and others are still copra plantations. Hmm. So there's this African, and there's French, and there's, you know, just the influence there are the Indians that came. The East Indians that came to Seychelles and ran all the little grocery stores. So there are lots of coconut curries, and there are kind of Frenchified foods and delicious sauces that, you know, maybe we would call salsas, but they call them fresh fruit chutneys. These are things that I still make to this day. It's in the Seychelles that I learned to slice onions and soak them in salt water, which everybody does, you know, to take out the bite of the onions but leave the flavor. But they were constantly doing that for every meal, because every meal seemed to have, whether it was a deep-fried crunchy fish, just had piles of quick-pickled onions on them.
Mm. Wow. Did you get to go in the kitchen and work with the chef, or you just kept tasting? And
no, it's not like going into the kitchen and working with the chef. My sister and I, when we arrived at Seychelles the first time, as I said, on the third commercial flight that ever came in, we just got out at the airport and we stood next to each other and saying, now what? And somebody tapped us on the shoulder and his name was Eric Green, and he turned out to be the Minister of Tourism. And he said, what would you like to do? Where are you going? We said, we don't know. Where should we go? Place, it's on the equator. So it was like being inside an apple pie. The place smelled like vanilla and cinnamon. And it was so hot, and just hot 24/7 because of being located right on the equator. But Eric Prince took us to his home. I mean, these are things that you trusted people then. And he took us to his home, and his wife and his daughter were there. And they made us dinner, found us a place to stay. Found us a little bungalow on the other side of Mahé, which is the main island. The capital of Mahé is Victoria. And the place he found us to stay looked like something out of a Somerset Maugham novel. That's all I can say. It was so odd and so filled with, not filled with, but there were some very eccentric people that used to be in the British Foreign Service that kind of made their homes there. There, we had private bungalows, but there was a big house where everybody met for dinner. But Eric advised us to stay there a few days and then go to the smallest of the three main islands, which is called La Digue, and stay with his cousin, Madame Titi Rose. So we went to there, but we didn't stay with Madame Titi Rose that time. We stayed instead with Gregoire in a bungalow. And that's where we started our food adventure. The food was exceptionally delicious.
Have you ever written about
the Seychelles in some of my cookbooks, because I've pointed out, you know, and I've talked about, you know, in the head notes and sidebars about the Seychelles. You know, like a lot of places that I've been in the world, including where I'm living now, there is a big connection to Nantucket because the whalers stopped in the Seychelles, and one of the little islands off the main island was a place where they used to try the whales. So they were bringing back only oil instead of the whole whale. And on the little island of La Digue, where we wound up staying, there are some people with the last name Coffin, which is an old Nantucket name. And so this is... I find it very interesting. I mean,
it's fascinating. We're talking to Susan Simon, who's a regular visitor here to WGXC's Thursday afternoon show. Tell us more.
Well, so you know, I'm setting this scene of these really very remote places for where this very remote, very possibly very damaging meeting went on.
Meeting, but I bet they're eating well.
They're probably staying in a very luxurious hotel that didn't really exist. There didn't really exist when it was 1972 that I went to the Seychelles. And then I went back for the next 2 years. So I spent a total of 12 months of my life in the Seychelles.
Wow.
The last time I was there, I spent 6 months. And I only spent 6 months because I got hepatitis. And I really I really couldn't get myself out of bed. I had just had to wait it out. And what they did, because every kid in the Seychelles gets hepatitis, and they call it la jaundice, and they just kept making sugar cane juice for me, which is, I suppose, what would have happened had I been in a hospital. I would have gotten an IV of some kind of sugar water to bring back my... But I remember, I don't think I've ever been that thin in my life. that was the only upside of it. Again, it's, you know, people say to me, you know, what would your last meal be? And I'm kind of torn between spaghetti with tomato sauce and fried cordonnier, which is a flat fish that comes out of the Indian Ocean. That in the Seychelles, they used to take the fish and just take the scales off and then score both sides and then deep fry it in coconut oil till it got so crispy.
Well, Ellen Thurston, what would your last dish be?
My last fish?
Dish.
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
Okay.
What about Tom's?
Can't think.
I thought you said last fish.
Yeah, your last fish.
Tuna.
Oh, yeah. That's good, too. And there was tuna. Plenty of tuna that was caught there. And there was a lot of coconut curry tuna with rice. A lot of tuna. Aubergine frites, which is fried eggplant.
Go for a little surf and turf.
You go for a little surf and turf. They killed.
No, I wouldn't. You, Ellen?
The last meal?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'd have to give
it some
thought.
A bag of Funyuns.
Bag of Funyuns and a can of orange soda, which is, you know, seems to be breakfast for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Orange soda?
No.
Too many things.
Well, I'm impressed by the fact that you saved this little cookbook because it's like a large postcard size.
Mm-hmm.
And full of recipes.
Right.
And I don't see it splashed with anything, but you say you use it a lot.
I use it. It kind of jogs my memory. I have recipes written down from people that I know in the Seychelles, and I still, one family that both my sister and I became quite friendly with, the eldest daughter now lives in Florida. The eldest daughter is maybe 55 years old now. She was 11 when we first met her, and she moved to Florida. Her brothers, it was a large family of kids. They're maybe two or three of them still live in the Seychelles. The others live in Canada or in Dubai, or, you know, they've just moved around France. But when I visited Betty in Florida, she's made amazing Seychellois feasts. I'm very, very fond of that food. I'm very fond of the spice mix that's tempered with coconut milk. Unlike, you know, when Indian food is kind of tempered with yogurt, there's not a lot of dairy in Seychelles. I mean, there's a lot of, as I said, that's why the tea is sweetened with either evaporated milk or condensed milk, stuff that comes in cans. The bread, no butter, but Blue Band. Spread, Blue Band on bread, which is a Kenyan margarine.
How do you spell it?
Blue Band.
Blue Band.
It's a margarine that they used a lot.
Not
on,
like Blue Bonnet. Didn't there used to be a Blue Bonnet?
Yes, this is Blue Band. Spread, Blue Band on bread. And Sabru, the local beer. And people were very fond of drinking vermouth with their food.
I think it'd be interesting to know what these people are doing there now. And... What they're eating.
Well, they're still eating the same kinds of food. I know that. I mean, I think there are probably supermarkets there that weren't there when I was there. And there may be some more processed food going on. I think the tourist industry has grown enormously since I was there. And there are a lot more hotels on the three main islands. I think the natural beauty of the Seychelles has not been diminished. It is spectacularly beautiful. These are granite islands with huge boulders that, you know, it's, you think, you dream about what the South Pacific is like, but you find it in the Seychelles. They're surrounded by coral reefs. I used to do a lot of snorkeling and just flirting with parrotfish and all kinds of beautiful, obviously boring Tom de Pietro to death because he's taking a nap.
It's been that kind of day. I'm sorry. I'm just tired.
He's resting.
I'm tired from like being at home all day yesterday and doing nothing except reading.
You and my dog.
Yeah, I am like a dog.
Nobody took you out.
No. Yeah, and I made a mess everywhere.
So that, you know, that's the Seychelles. I mean, it's even now, for example, in the middle of the winter when you can buy a pineapple and you cut it up into tiny little chunks, mix the pineapple with raisins and chopped coriander. And if you hate coriander, cilantro. And if you hate cilantro, which a lot of people do, parsley, you know, grate some fresh ginger into it, put chili flakes into it, and then take a red onion and slice it really thinly and let it soak in some salted water to take that onion bite out but leave the onion flavor, and then squeeze them really dry and mix all of this together with a drop of oil. And it makes this lovely, as I said, they call it a fresh fruit chutney to serve with any kind of roasted meat.
Wow.
Yeah. Lots of things. And then... I have a fondness for tropical islands, and I just, as I said, I just was in the Dominican Republic for a couple of weeks.
And here you are now in the middle of a fierce snowstorm.
Mm. Yeah, that's why I was asking Tom if he said he had trouble seeing green. I have to close my eyes when I see this and just see what I saw less than two weeks ago in the Dominican Republic. Just this abundance of green, of palm trees, of papaya trees, of avocado trees, of bougainvillea, of just color, of green, of pink, of burgundy, of a turquoise ocean. Ah!
Very nice.
Wow. Well, I found this snow particularly beautiful.
Yes?
Actually, and very unusual. It seemed to me it looked like whipped cream.
This that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
The one that kept whirling around and was so dense.
And it outlined every tree, every bush, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was light and fluffy. It came down in clumps.
Right.
Where two or three snowflakes would get together and come down at once. So it was this nubby kind of look.
But it was heavy and it broke a lot of branches.
Did it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware of that. I think, and I'm surrounded by a lot of trees.
So you didn't get any break.
Very big trees. I haven't like walked the perimeters, so I'm not sure. But
I
would have heard it going on.
Yeah,
because that's happened before, especially when you get an ice storm and the ice covers every single mm-hmm. branch. And I remember one year hearing this snap, snap, snap all night long. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard that this year, so.
But it, from what I understand, these past two storms have caused a lot of damage. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people were, and still are, without power.
I know.
The television went off. I don't know if you went off at your house.
At one point, my television was gone and my internet was gone. Mm-hmm. So it was an interesting time. You're listening to the Thursday Afternoon Show with Tom DiPietro and me, Ellen Thurston, and our guest, Susan Simon, who is talking about this wonderful tropical paradise that is making all of us, I think, a little nostalgic for that kind of weather.
I went to the Dominican Republic because I have a friend there who, invited me to stay. And I've been there before. And I find the Dominican Republic fascinating. You know, it shares this island of Hispaniola with Haiti. And the two countries could not be more diverse. And they share this border on this. The whole culture changes. It's kind of incredible. In preparation for this trip this time, I read a book called The Last Magnificent, and it was a story about Porfirio Rubirosa. Does everybody remember who he was? Because not many people do when I say his name. Do you, Tom?
A vague sense of who he was. He was a gangster, wasn't he?
No, he was a playboy. Well, he was a big playboy. He was married to Doris Duke. He was married to Barbara Hutton. Right. He was married to Daniel Darieux, French film star. Okay. He was married to his first wife was Flor Trujillo, the daughter of the dictator Trujillo. Hmm. The dictatorship in the Dominican Republic is a great blueprint for a lot of others. Anyway, I love this country. I love the natural beauty of it. I especially love where I was, which is the north side of the island, which has the Atlantic Ocean as its body of water, not the Caribbean. But there's a lot of fresh food. In the Dominican Republic, there is not a distinctive local cuisine. However, there are two or three dishes that you say, "Oh, that's Dominican." Mm-hmm. And one of them is a dish called mangu. Have you heard of mangu?
I haven't.
Mangu are mashed plantains that are mashed with a lot of butter or oil. And it's served in a mound, and typically, again, pickled onions, just like the pickled onions that I described that they do in the Seychelles, and they quick pickle them. And then mangu is typically served for breakfast. It's a breakfast food. It's served with slices of fried salami, slices of fried cheese, and perhaps if you like a fried egg. Now, I was staying with a very good old friend of mine and his partner, who own a magnificent, I guess you call it guest house, small hotel, guest house, beautiful, one of the most beautiful places, hotels you've ever seen. And I was lucky to be his guest, as I said. And mostly their guests like, continental breakfast or eggs, an omelet or something. But every once in a while, he said, when the wealthy but Dominicans come from the capital, which is Santo Domingo on the other side of the island, they'll ask for mangu for breakfast, this dish that I've just described.
And did you have mangu when you were
there? I had mangu the last day I was there because I asked for it. I mean, I kept saying, because I was staying with them, and they made food using Dominican ingredients, but very sort of French American kind of cuisine. I mean, very, very delicious. And I kept saying, what is the Dominican dish? You know, we went to a couple of places for Dominican food, and basically it's just It's a lot of fried stuff like tostones, which are the fried plantains. There are a lot of grilled fish, grilled langoustines, grilled shrimp. Yeah, what time is it? Grilled, and then stews. But there's nothing like, you know, you've got just to the northwest, Cuba, which has a very interesting cuisine. And then just to the east is Puerto Rico, that has very interesting cuisine. Even its attached neighbor, Haiti, has a more Creole cuisine. But the DR is basically, you know, stewing stuff and grilling stuff and frying stuff. Anyway, what I didn't lack for things to eat. I found stuff that I really liked, especially the rum.
She finds her way.
The rum was delicious. And as I said, there's a lot because of the climate. There's a lot of fresh fruit. It's beautiful fruit. And I wrote about the mango in this column that I write for the Nantucket paper, and I gave a recipe for it. There's mofungo too, which is also plantains with other stuff.
You know, here in the local supermarket, I see strange vegetables,
yes,
and fruits now turning up. I have no idea what they are.
Well, I was just in one of those supermarkets before I came here, and I wanted to especially note about the plantains, because plantains are used like potatoes.
Yeah,
they are plantains. They're for 39 cents each. So, and they're plantains that are absolutely at the right color to make this mango that I just described. So yes, there are a lot of tropical fruits and vegetables in the markets, which is great.
Right, and I mean, huge things that are cut in two or cut open so you can see what's inside. There's no signs there that tell you what they are, as far as I can see.
Sometimes
I mean, plantains, I know. They've been around for a long time.
Yeah, the plantains had a sign on them. And what I've always found interesting in this one particular supermarket is that they sell loofah with the vegetables, which a lot of people, some cultures, cuisines use loofah, which we use maybe to scrub our backs, a loofah, which is really a squash, too, and they cook it.
So what we're seeing is just the sort of skeleton of the
loofah. Exactly. And then I guess you rehydrate it and you make it into some sort of food. I've never researched that one thoroughly, but I know it's sold right along with the other vegetables. You know, I've bought one because they're so reasonably priced compared to going to a health food store or a kitchen or a body shop to buy them. And they work just as well.
Well, it's that time we have to play the news, Ellen. Ellen, okay. Thurston.
Okay, so
you've been listening to the Thursday Afternoon Show with Tom DiPietro and Ellen Thurston and our guest Susan Simon, who's the one who's like telling us all these wonderful adventures she's
here on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.